And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, while we'll share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Well, today's topic is Airbnb apartment test update. Well, before we start, though, with this topic, I wanted to say hello, and I hope you guys are doing great with your real estate investing goals and endeavors here. It's great to be able to, just to touch base with you every now and then and just remind you, hey, you know, sometimes we need some encouragement here. Sometimes it is a challenge, and other times we can just also sit around and talk about our successes and how things go well. Well, I'm hoping that today this will be a show that will be helpful for you. I don't know how many of you are familiar with what I've done with Airbnb, but I'll just give you kind of a brief overview. And I'm trying to couch this whole discussion in trying to get you guys to think outside the box. You know, a lot of times we think, oh, these are my options. This is what I can do. I can rehab. I can lower, you know, my expenses, trying to boost the bottom line. If you boost the bottom line, especially in a multifamily, it actually increases the value of the property. But we kind of get locked into these little, I don't know what you'd call them, but kind of restrictions, because you think, oh, gee, I've done everything I can do. Well, you know, you got to think a little bit further than that, and that there are things you can do that maybe you didn't even think you could do. So that's kind of what I'm talking about here. You'll get more information on this. Actually, if you go to the show notes for today's show, I'll add additional links about some of the things that we have done in the Airbnb space. But basically, I purchased this 22-unit apartment in May of 2016. I was able to purchase it under value, under market value. And it's in an area that's what I would consider a path of progress, near a more upscale area called Irvington, and then downtown. You know, it's in transformation, but it's not happening as fast as I would have liked. I'm looking at it and saying, well, gee, you know, what am I going to do? I don't think I can go up any more in my rents. I have reduced expenses, and you can always find ways to reduce expenses more. The value of the property has nearly doubled. It's done really well. But, you know, one of the issues I have is that I bought an apartment that has a lot of studios or efficiencies, and 17 of the units are studio apartments, and then there's five one-bedroom. The issue with studios is that they are they have kind of a higher turnaround or turnover than it does with a one-bedroom or two-bedroom or three-bedroom, and that is one of the challenges I've had to deal with. Even though it's ideally priced for those that are on a fixed income, especially retirement folks that maybe are living on Social Security, or maybe they have some other kind of assistance, or maybe a limited pension or something of that nature, it works out nice if it's just one or two people. But it still has that turnover ratio, which is an issue. And so as I looked at this, I was trying to figure out, you know, what can I do? I try to find more stable tenants, you know, those with a job nearby. I've tried everything. I really wasn't really sure what else I could do. I mean, I felt like I was stuck. And it was at that time that I started to get creative, started to look at what can I do to kind of just turn this thing around. And, you know, we upgraded the apartment, the units. We did a whole deal on the curb appeal, new signage, flowers, landscaping, things like that. Put a nice canopy over the door to make it look, a classier. We tried to bring back, it's an older building, 1925. So we tried to upgrade the look and also maintain, though, that older look, too, in some of our rehab efforts. And in addition to that, I also stretched out and started developing relationships with people in the community, people that had businesses that had a large number of employees that would need places to stay, churches in the area, other landlords. I started to establish relationships with on either side of me. And these things have all helped in one way or another to either bring in better tenants or to help boost the bottom line. I was able to increase rents after we did the rehab, and that helped. But we feel like we're pretty much at the top of what we can pull in for this area. One of the challenges I had is really, what can I do now? You know, I'm at a point where we're getting a decent cash flow out of the units. But, what I'm going to do is sit around and wait for market rates to go up. And so I had a guest on my show. It was show 109, a guy named Al Williamson, that really caused me to think outside the box. And Al is a guy who had a two-bedroom, one-bath house in Sacramento, California, and he was having trouble. He couldn't buy any new properties because he was kind of stuck. The cap rates had gotten so compressed and prices had gone up so much in California. So he was trying to look at what he could do to sort of maximize. So he was kind of looking what he could do. He had this little two-bedroom place that was cash flowing about $200 a month. So he started looking around. He had heard some stuff on Airbnb, about Airbnb, and he thought, well, maybe I could get this house to be an Airbnb house and see if I could get, you know, more things going. And so anyway, he shared his story on the podcast, and I'd recommend you listen to it. It's really, really interesting. And he was able to turn that $200 cash flow, okay, into 1,068 cash flow, okay, on this little two-bedroom, one-bath house. And you may ask how he was able to do that. Well, he was able to do it because he started getting into this Airbnb space. Now, as I heard this, I was just fascinated with it. And I looked at, well, look, I've got some units in this 22-unit apartment that I have. What if I converted one of those to an Airbnb? And let's just test it out and see what happened. So that's basically what I did, is I converted a one of our units into, I think it was last August, we went into it, and I thought of, okay, what am I going to do to this? And the whole focus for me was, okay, we're competing with the hotels, right? So what's a low-priced hotel, and what would be the amenities? And generally, you know, the hotel, everything's kind of self-contained. You have you have your room, you have your bathroom there. I mean, it's kind of like a studio, if you think about it, unless you get a suite, right? And so the basics are there. But I also had additional benefits. I have a full kitchen in this. So it's kind of more like the extended stay type hotels. And so I thought, well, gee, you know, if I can just get into this thing, clean it up, furnish it, okay, get all the appliances or all the amenities in there, get an ironing board and an iron and, get the coffee maker and all these different things in there that would be able to compete with these other types of entities out there, then maybe, you know, I could charge close to what an inexpensive hotel would charge. And that's really where I came from. And I went in there, and one of the things we did is took the carpets out. We put in laminate floors. We upgraded the kitchen cabinets. We went a little bit further than you probably have to go. We decorated it relatively inexpensively, and we opened it up. I put it on Airbnb, and within a week, I had requests for the property. Hello, old dogs. I've always said that if you're going to buy investment properties, your first preference should be your own backyard. But if that's not possible, like me living here in Southern California, I recommend buying out of state. Well, guess what? We have a new sponsor here on the Old Dogs REI Network who makes that process a whole lot easier. I'm talking about a company called Roofstock. No, old dogs, I didn't say Woodstock, although I'm sure there's a few listening who are actually there, although you probably don't remember. Just kidding. Roofstock is the first online marketplace created exclusively for investing in single-family rental homes, with tenants already in place so you can start earning passive income right away. Created by investors for investors, Roofstock provides research, analytics, and insights to help you evaluate and purchase independently certified rental properties. Roofstock has put together a special offer just for Old Dog listeners who use the link roofstock.com/dog. If you sign up today, you'll save $350 when you close on your first rental property through Roofstock. That's right. Sign up today at roofstock.com/DAWG to save $350. Offer valid for a limited time only. Terms and conditions apply. One of the things into going into this that I had to weigh out was, what am I going to do as far as turnarounds, okay? I mean, I don't have anybody on site because it's too small of an apartment to have on-site management. So I would have to, you know, deal with that issue. Is I couldn't have somebody come in for 2 days and then another person come in, because you're going to have to go in and clean all the laundry and the sheets and all those things. So one of the things that Al had talked about in this show is that he set like a 30-day minimum on his tenants. And I like that. I said 30 days, I could do that. I could get somebody to come in once every 30 days and get this place ready for the next tenant. So I set a 30-day minimum on it. And that's where I was. And then I posted the ad and then started getting these responses. So there were a lot of things I learned in the process, and during that time, I had folks come in, and some of them were not used to the neighborhood. For example, that was one of the challenges. It is an area in transition. I think it's a nice area, but it is kind of urban in its approach, and I personally like the area. But we had some of our early tenants responses like, well, you know, I didn't think that it was a neighborhood like this or whatever. So what we did is we reworded our ad. We restructured it a little bit, mentioning that this is we called it an urban oasis. Okay, that was actually Al's suggestion. I thought it was great. An urban oasis. Okay, so let them know it's urban. And in our description, we talk about it's a culturally diverse community, that it is, so that you're prepared for, you know, that this community, let's say, might not be a place like your neighborhood is or something. So, and that helped in the positioning, because people's expectations came in and they were cool with it. And so, we tweaked things as we went on. And as I tested it out, I had, some issues with some bugs in the unit, and that was really a drag, you know. And so we had to do some things there to deal with that. So I would tweak things and try to upgrade and change the way we handled it. I was fortunate that the property management firm that I have also has an apartment building just a couple doors down from me that does have an on-site person, and I was able to tap into that person to pay them a little extra to be our turnaround person, and that worked out really, really well. So anyway, the bottom line is I saw in just a short period of time that I was getting double the income from as compared to my conventional rentals that were in the same building. And I'm going, wow, this is great. And so I started experimenting around and looking at what other things I could do. I had heard about, doing corporate housing or doing things to get sort of longer term guests in this unit. And I tapped into the a couple of different places. I started off on just Airbnb. Then I went to VRBO, which is Vacation Rental Portal. And then I went to this thing called Furnished Finders, I think it's called, and which caters primarily to the traveling nurse community. And what I found out was that with the traveling nurses, they usually move. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but they come into an area and there's a shortage of nurses around the country. And this is a way that hospitals are dealing with the shortage of nurses is by having people come in. They pay them a great salary. They pay them these amazing per diems. In other words, they pay your rent. They pay, I don't know if I might be inaccurate on this, but I think there's a food allowance. There's a lot of little niceties there so that it makes it attractive for nurses to come in and stay. But they stay for a minimum of 90 days. So this was even better. I mean, I could get a tenant for 90 days. They come in and literally don't have to deal with them unless there's any kind of issues there. But generally, you don't have to deal with them for 90 days. And then there's another turnaround. So I started getting into that space and booked my first nurse in there, a traveling nurse. And then I started getting all kinds of additional requests for this unit for them, because what they have is they have a per diem amount and that's fixed. So if they can find an inexpensive place compared to the hotels that they would normally be staying, then they get to pocket the additional. So there's all these advantages in it for them. So I was able to get into that space, and I saw as I did that, I was also able to charge a little bit more than Airbnb rates. So because it's a very focused, targeted area. Airbnb is very broad, and there's a lot of inexpensive, comparable type properties. You're competing with people that have a room in their house and things of this nature that they're renting out for Airbnb. So I was able to segment it and able to increase the amount that I yielded even more. So that is what has been happening. And I have basically come to the conclusion that we're going to add a couple more units here, and especially to address the traveling nurses. And if we don't have a traveling nurse, we can just immediately rent it out on the Airbnb side. This is just an update here. This is what has been happening. I am still in the process of tweaking things. We're kind of competing with the Airbnb folks in that they usually will host it, that, you know, somebody meets you there, that, you know, they've got a basket of goodies for you, just so to hold you over until you can, you know, pick up your own groceries and things of this nature. So we're doing the same stuff, except we don't have that person on site. And I'm working on that part of it to try make it a little bit better. But we do have folks that can come in and meet them, give them their keys, orient them, and so forth. So anyway, this has ended up being a really great advantage. Think of this, okay? You have a unit, and that unit yields a minimum of double what it would have earned otherwise. So every time I convert a unit into an Airbnb, and I'm saying Airbnb, it could be the traveling nurses or what have you, but when I convert it to that short-term rental, I am, in essence, adding another unit that can generate that much income. So that is what is happening here, is by adding, you know, three Airbnb units, I have basically added three units. I mean, that's how I'm thinking of in terms of income and the cash flow on this property. And that's another advantage too, is that the cash flow aspect of it, there are not a lot of, outside of setting this up, and I figured $1,500 to $2,000 maybe per unit, and that is usually recouped in a month or a month and a half, is that there are no other additional expenses. So this is just straight cash flow. There's nothing to offset this. It's just, there is a percentage that I pay to that person, like a 10% fee to the person that is my host or hostess. But basically, there isn't anything else involved. So it is a real great way to boost your cash flow. And I'll keep you guys more updated on it. Just in a nutshell, what we do is we kind of upgrade these units, make them more hotel-like, put an HD TV on the wall, cable, Roku. I am actually getting ready to get on a plane today. I'm going out to help get speed up the conversion of these units. I'm also picking up a couple of bikes so that people are there. One of the neat things about Indianapolis is there's these amazing bike trails and so forth. So I'm going to pick up some bikes that they can use free of charge that'll be available in the facility as well. So that is it. I thought you guys might be interested and it might get you thinking. There's also this thing called rental arbitrage, and it was touched on a little bit in the interview with Al, but that is an idea. You can't buy a place if you really don't have a lot of money to get started. What you might be able to do is go rent an apartment on a one-year lease, making a deal with the landlord that you're going to be using it for an Airbnb. And you can charge so much more for Airbnb than the actual rent that you'll be paying on that lease that you can start generating cash right away without having to buy any property at all. No mortgage, nothing. You're just renting. So there are other options there that fall into space, into play with the Airbnb play. That is it for today. I want to note that everything I mentioned here, there will be some links to some of those other episodes where I talk about first getting started in the Airbnb space. There's also Al's interview and a couple others that'll be in the show notes. So just look for the show on the Airbnb apartment rental update. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.
Now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.